Hey, it's Eric G. Around the House is sponsored by Baldwin Hardware. For 75 years, Baldwin Hardware has been known for its first-class quality and craftsmanship in door and cabinetry hardware. As an alumnus of the Baldwin Hardware Design Council, I can say I have seen the details and quality from design to the finished product. If you're looking for a new style and old-world craftsmanship, I can tell you there is only one Baldwin Hardware. Check out what would look great in your home at baldwinhardware.com. Thanks for taking a listen to Around the House with Eric G. This is the radio show, hour number two from May 16th, 2020. Thanks for listening. We're going to talk about my new Lutron motorized shades. These things are super cool. They run off Bluetooth, and you can control them with all your smart devices. And then we're going to talk a little bit about toilet repair and maintenance, and then water heaters. Man, there are some new ones coming out. Let's talk about that energy efficiency and dive into that. I'll quit talking. Let's get to the show.
Get you on the radio, yeah, you gotta be on the radio. If the kids can only hear you, they go out of control. You gotta be on the radio.
You gotta get on the radio. Welcome back to Around the House with Eric G. This is your home improvement source every single weekend. I'm Eric G.
I'm producer Dane Vodder.
Oh, producer, co-host, man of many hats.
I give one of them here and there.
Yeah, you know, randomly.
I'll throw co-host in later, even though by speaking on the air, I figure it's kind of an easy tell.
It kind of is. Well, hey, we've been talking about a bunch of different stuff. Thanks for listening. This is hour number two of the show. If you missed hour number one on the radio show, go and check out the podcast. You can catch that anywhere you listen to podcasts. Or if you want the shortcut, just go to aroundthehouseonline.com and catch it there. All right. Well, I want to talk a little bit this hour about, first off, I had a cool little project I was working on this weekend, and it's fun because, you know, Julie gets up early in the morning. I mean, she is an early riser for work, and that's, you know, she gets off noon, but she has to go to bed real early. And so our master bedroom has a sliding glass door in it that goes out this little mini deck. And then above that is a big 6-foot by 3-foot window up there. Well, that faces right due south. So it is just sunlight loves to come in there.
All day long.
And the problem is the bottom of that's about 9 feet up. So it's not a place that you can really put a blind up.
And have it be effective.
I mean, you're basically just closing the window off that way. So I wanted to do something. And of course, you know me in home technology. So I teamed up with our friends at Lutron, and they got me lined up with these Lutron roller shades. This was easy. Now, they custom make them to the size. You got a lot of different choices. I wanted room darkening. I wanted it motorized. I wanted it Bluetooth. Here is what I love about this. One, took about, for me, about 25 minutes to put in. Not bad. And that's because I'm also way up there, you know, on a big ladder. So I'm up high. So I'm, you know, 14 feet in the air putting a shade up there. So I'm a little more deliberate in my steps. But it went really quickly, and the Bluetooth setup was easiest smart home device I've ever set up. Yeah. It was just that simple. But what's cool about it now is that I've got it set up in my smart home. So when, I like it when I wake up in the middle of the night to have that blind open because I can see the stars, I can see the moon, I can see the trees out there.
Yeah,
it's very twilight, and I love that, how that is. And so now I have it, so it shuts at 7 o'clock. So Julie is now asleep.
Yeah.
By 10:30, when it's dark all summer long,
it reopens it.
It reopens it up, and it can do it. It's not going to wake you up. You just hear it's like somebody rustling papers. I mean, it's just this, you know, just kind of a light noise. There's nothing to it. And then I have it come back again because she's up at, you know, middle of the night going to work. Well, maybe I'm not going to be. So I've got it shutting before sunlight and then opening back up again later on. So I've got it opening and shutting throughout the night.
Okay, so you have it shutting before, after she leaves, before the sun comes up. Okay, I see what you're saying.
If I want to sleep in, which, you know me, I don't.
But yeah, I was going to say, you never do.
I never do, but still, I can do that. And then I have it on the weekends. I have it on a weekend schedule where now it's going to be, you know, not open up till later on in the morning. So I can, if we wanted to sleep in, the opportunity's there.
Yeah.
So I can set it that way. And then what I like about it, though, is I set it into my lighting plan. because I've got the Lutron light switches in the house. So now I can sit there and put it into my scenes. So when I click good night, which changes my lights to where my nighttime setting is,
mm-hmm.
it'll also shut that blind.
Okay.
So no matter what I do, if I go to daylight and change all the lights to daylight, to my daylight setting where I want them during the day, it'll open that back up again. So it's kind of cool with the scenes.
So that's something I'm curious about. So when it comes to smart home technology and the lights and everything,
yeah.
So when you have the daylight setting, I imagine that's bright lights, correct?
Kind of, yes and no, because I have it on daylight, so I have different settings. So daylight for me is on a sunny day. Maybe I don't need as much light.
Okay, so that's where I'm saying. It's like, okay, if you have the daylight setting, it could be a sunny day, it could be a cloudy day. So yeah. how?
Well, I've got different settings for stuff. Okay. So I've got a daylight, I've got a nighttime, I've got a movie night where it'll dim. I've got dinner time, so it dims down this light. I've got the different scenes that I can use, so I can sit there and go, oh, it's dinner time, clink, and it'll drop the living room lights down. We don't need them in there. We're going to be at the dining room. And
pull
so
the dining room lights dining, up.
Yeah, yep. So I can work it around that way, and it works out really well. That's where kind of the smart home technology, when you start getting into things and be able to set scenes up and those kind of things, and that's where, you know, outside of Lutron, where the smart home hubs work, where you can start putting, you know, that's all within one brand, but you can start, if you go to the smart home hub route, now you can put multiple brands in there and start doing that same layering.
But you do want to make sure that they're going to talk to each other.
I've been doing tons of research on smart home hubs because I'm going to be talking about that next year. And I have just been diving deep into this. It is tedious. There is no easy way to do it because I'm like, okay, well, I want it to be able to run my Lutron system. I want it to run my, you know, Chamberlain garage door opener. I wanted to run the Z-Wave. Yeah, my Z-Wave technology for my smart home locks. And so now all of a sudden, when you start clicking down on these things, now there's only a couple smart home hubs. All of a sudden, I went from like a dozen smart home hubs down to two or three that are what I would say retail friendly. There's a lot of other ones out there that I can create my own app for and just, you know, get crazy with. I don't want that level of detail. I don't want to go into writing code. I don't want to go into that stuff.
The home's supposed to be smart.
Yeah, exactly. I'm not that level of user. I don't want to be. But when it comes down to using those things, that's where that can be kind of cool because you can set it up and do a lot of things. But like I said, and like you said there, making sure that all these items play well together is pretty awesome. And then when they start working, it's great. So I only have a couple options of different ones, and I'll let you know when I decide which one I'm going to go with because I'm not entirely sure yet. One of them is Samsung. You know, they've got their SmartThings system, which really works on most of what I want to do. But we'll see. You know, I'm kind of still powering through that one.
Yeah.
And this is that thing that I'm doing now, which every homeowner has to do when they start diving into this stuff, because you literally just can't go out and say, okay, I'm going to go with the Google system and I hope everything works.
Because it probably won't.
It won't. You know, it's not going to set the, you know, if I went and did that, great, but it's not going to work with my smart locks. Well, that doesn't do me any good.
It's really only going to work if you just buy Google and the Google this and the Google that. And then, yes,
they've
it'll
got
all speak
some
together,
other stuff but. That works, but it's just, you know, the problem is that you see with a lot of the smart home technology out there that those hub systems, which is your kind of your brains of the whole thing, and that's what keeps you from running. You know, from running 32 apps in your phone to have, okay, here's my light setting, here's my garage door, here's my this, here's my that, here's my locks, here's this. This keeps it all under one button
umbrella.
And all that umbrella. And so that's where you really got to be careful. And the problem is right now is that, you know, most everybody, you'll get 80% out of it. So that's why you need to have that hub first and design the products around that hub to make sure it works. Because otherwise, I mean, I've got a controller back there that you know, besides my locks, it'll also run my outdoor lights, the string lights that I have out back.
Mm-hmm.
I've got those set up that way too. So I have to have those things to get that. So that's where a little more research on
planning.
My side is, and planning is the big part of that. That's a huge part of this is getting that lined up and making sure it works. And so I've got a bunch of different stuff like that we're going to be playing with. And I've got one that I'll let you guys know that I'm kind of working on right now that I think I'm going to be doing. It's a cell phone enhancer for signal for smart homes. So okay. We'll be talking about that.
Like a booster kind of thing?
Kind of a booster without just being a really cheesy booster that you get from your cell phone provider. This is a full-on system that will
goes into your network.
Kind of. It's like having your own cell phone tower at your house.
Okay.
So we're going to work on that one, too. That's some
especially if you live in some rural areas. I could see that being really handy.
Or just in my neighborhood where I've got one or two bars down in the hole that we're kind of in down
here.
Yeah,
there's that, too.
You know, it just kind of bounces around, but that's one of those things. But stay tuned. There's going to be a lot more smart home stuff as well because there are just so many cool things that come out. And these can really help out, especially when you're getting into security and water savings and all these different things. I just love the different options you've got because not only are they cool, put a little money back in your pocket, too, and that's what I like about it. All right, when we come back, we're going to talk a little bit about potty talk just as soon as we're out of the house insurance. You can buy me a drink. I can get you a Jennifer Lopez. And I can buy you a ring that's bigger than Cobain.
What's up? This is Dick
and Satchel from Steel Panther, and you are listening to
Around the House with Eric G.
Yeah.
We love Eric G, and you should too.
Welcome back to Around the House with Eric G. This is where we talk home improvement every single weekend. Thanks for joining us. I'm Eric G.
I'm Dane Vodder.
Rocking out with little Steel Panther. Doing some cheap trick.
I missed the chance to see them live a couple years ago. They came to town for New Year's.
The best New Year's party ever.
Go ahead, rub it in. Rub it in. I'm hoping they come back again.
It was rock and roll debauchery and alcohol. It was just, yeah, it was wild. Those guys know how to party. They just do.
New Year's is like the perfect day to have a freaking show with those guys.
Oh, my gosh. I don't think there'll be a crazier New Year's than that one because that's one of those that left a mark for a while, but we had a good time.
The stories that you've told me are memorable. I can only imagine what we'd like to actually be there.
Oh, yeah. It was good stuff. Well, hey, if you want to get a hold of us, be a part of the show, 971-233-8992. That's 971-233-8992. You can just save in your phone, call in to get those home improvement questions. Or if you're shy, just hit us up at aroundthehouseonline.com.
Well, and hey, you know, and the cool thing about this phone setup is it's not like you're going to call and talk to us right away. The cool thing about this is that you could be working on something in the middle of the night. You could be on the East Coast and early in the morning and you're worried about calling us because we're on the West Coast at 4 a.m. It doesn't matter.
Nope.
You're going to leave us a message with your name, what you're working on, and a callback number. And the best time to call you back.
Yep.
We'll call you back. We'll hit the record button. We'll talk about your project.
And you'll be on the show and we'll get you personally walked through. So that's the thing I like about this so much better than we just did the call-in stuff is that, man, when we were done, if we went to break, got to go see a boom.
Yep,
and you
time
went,
constraints.
Oh, I hope you got that taken care of because we gave you enough information to do it, but you're out of luck if not. So that's the good part of this. So, well, I want to talk a little bit about it. It's been fun on, some of my home improvement groups. I've really noticed that people, now that they're home, they're spending a little more time at home, that toilet problems have been arising.
Well, it's all that toilet paper people bought.
It is. They got to use it up. Well, the funny thing is that people don't realize that if you've got an old toilet, it uses a ton of water.
Yeah.
So if you think about it, you're probably using toilet water-wise, if you have like two kids at school, two adults going off to work, your water bill from your toilet has now doubled since everybody's at home. At least, if not tripled. So if you think about that, then you put on top of it a maintenance plan that you probably didn't do on these toilets. Forgot about them. Ah, they're working. Ah, it's running a little bit, but it'll be fine.
I haven't had issues with it in months, years. It's fine.
Yeah, so these are maintenance things. And this is one of those things I really wanted to talk about because, you know, if you've got that old 1970s toilet from, 1977, and it's 3.5 gallon flush. So this is one of those things that be costing you $500 a year in a household. Think about that. You can put a nice killer toilet in that does a gallon flush that'll pay for itself really quickly.
And use a third of the water.
Yeah, it's even less than that. I mean, it's just crazy with some of these, you know. I mean, and the funny part is, and why I say less than that is that you're not accounting for the leaking
of the old toilet,
toilet that was
the,
in there.
The piping and the plumbing.
Yeah, absolutely. So you think about that. And it used to be, and I mean, I started selling toilets way back when they went to the 1.6-gallon flush. And they were freaking horrible. I mean, up until 10 years ago, toilets didn't really work well. 10 years ago, Toto was making some good ones. But everybody else, they were still poorly designed. The government had jammed that 1.6-gallon flush down before really people understood how to build good flushing toilets. So what happens? What happens? People just have to flush them twice.
Double the water.
Yeah, now you got a 3.1, 3.2-gallon flush.
1970s flush.
Yeah, didn't work. And so it was really dumb, and there was a black market for toilets and everything else out there because people were out there dealing with toilets that didn't work. Well, nowadays, you know, I mean, you can go spend $15 to $20 and get a repair kit that's going to change out everything on the inside. It's awesome.
That's great.
But if you've got that 10-year-old toilet or older, unless it's something decorative, like if you've got that pink bathroom from 1965 that's super cool, then leave it alone and rebuild the toilet. I totally get it. You're not going to go down to a home center or plumbing store and buy another pink toilet. I like to keep those things in there. So vintage fixtures are a little bit different for me. But if you've got that 1977, you know, Elger toilet that was the builder special out there, swap it out, put it in something new. Now, if you've got that with the 90s toilet, even 2000s, if it's older than 10 years from now, I'll be honest, I probably wouldn't put the parts in there. If I can afford to, I'm going to go get a nice higher-end toilet, not the $99 or $120 one. Go out and spend $400 or $500 on a good toilet that's going to work really well, and it's going to pay for itself super quickly. Now, I get that water rates are different. You know, if you're in the Midwest in certain areas, I mean, I see people out there, their water bill is you know, $50 a month to them is expensive. And out here in the West Coast in Portland, it can be $150 before you even pay for the water. So, you know, it's one of those things that you know, it's in many areas, a $200 water bill is not that uncommon for a small home. And if you're watering outside with your sprinklers, it can be $400 really quickly. So, again, depending on what your water rates are and where you're at, that can be a different story. But I just want people to think about that when you're repairing toilets and getting into this stuff, that if it's a newer toilet, if it was a cheap newer toilet, you're not going to fix that with the parts. You'll stop the leaks, but you're not going to fix the performance of how well it worked. And it's all about the design of those toilets right now. And not even talking bidet seats or anything else like that. I mean, you can go out and get, you know, I put in those new DXV ones that our friends at Chown helped me with. And I love those toilets. They're great. And to be honest, it was Chown that helped me get away from the Toto flag waving because, you know, I've pitched those toilets just on my own because I've used them on every single design project. Mm-hmm. So it was something I used a lot and I still like those, but there are a lot of other good toilet companies that quite frankly have caught up. You know, and you can get something that fits the style you want, saves you some money, and just be a little careful with those 1-gallon ones. I wouldn't put those in an old house basement. You need a little more water. Hey, when we come back, let's talk some water heaters just as soon as around the house returns.
Hey, this is Ron Keel, the metal cowboy from Keel, the Ron Keel Band and Steeler. We are rocking around the house with Eric G.
Raise your fist, make your stand.
Welcome back to Around the House with Eric G. This is where we talk home improvement every weekend. Thanks for joining us. We're rocking out with little Ron Keel. He's got a new album coming out.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah. Let's get him on the show.
Well, we'll send him an email.
Let's do it. Let's do it. Hey, I'm Eric G.
I'm Dane Vodder.
Thanks for joining us here today. We've been talking lots of different things today. It's been one of those kind of multiple topic shows where we're kind of hitting a new one every single segment and stuff.
We're jumping around.
Jumping around a bit, but trying to address so many different questions and problems out there for people. And we'll get into some more interviews as we go down the road here. But this is just going to be one of those double hours of home improvement and not talking to some other experts out there. Well, this hour I wanted to talk a little bit about, you know, water heater repair and maintenance. And there's so many different types of water heaters, and I just wanted to talk to people real quick about this. We're going to do an interview later on down the road, and I want to talk about the energy efficient stuff, but I just kind of want to tease ahead on this because we will deep dive into this in a later episode. But there's so many different types of water heaters out there. You have your electric water heater, which is your typical 50-gallon, you know, tank with two elements in it that heats up and heats water. Then you've got your traditional, you know, natural gas or propane one, kind of like my old nasty one over there that's on the list of getting swapped out. But, you know, that's natural gas. And so it runs and heats the water that way. And if it was propane, it would be similar. And then you start getting into different ones. There's the tankless water heaters, which look like a little suitcase that mounts on the wall. And those are either gas or electric. And the gas one works so much better than the electric ones. But what they do is they superheat water coming in, but they don't store water. So if you design that system correctly, you could put that up and literally it is going to run until you run out of water or gas to get there. And it always just keeps water. It will use a little more water because it has to kick on and you're going to have cold water in the line many times, but it will, you're going to have that in either water heater. But once that kicks on and starts putting water out, that's great for the teenage kids in the shower because it's just not going to run out.
Yeah.
You're not going to run out of hot water. The electric ones won't work as well, so I tend to go gas on that. The disadvantage with those, and they all have their disadvantages, but the disadvantage of those is those require much more maintenance than a traditional water heater does. And, you know, and I get every year you should probably be flushing that water heater out, getting the minerals out of it. Who does that? Now, I know if you're like my buddy over in the Tri-Cities in Eastern Washington, you know, in KONA country, their hard water that they have in their area over there with some of these homes, you better be doing that every 6 months. If you're in a well, if you're in a well in Kennewick, Washington, you better be flushing that thing out because every 6 months, you might have, in 10 years, you might have a 15-gallon water heater because you filled it up.
Wow.
And it's crazy. It's crazy. So it's one of those things you got to really pay attention to your water. But more importantly with this, there's all these different types of heaters. So I want to see usually, again, depending on the manufacturer, every 6 months to a year, you need to have somebody out servicing that tankless water heater, making sure that those deposits and stuff are not building up on it. Because otherwise, that's going to not last you very long. So whenever I say, hey, you're going to get a tankless water heater installed, get on their maintenance plans, then come out and get that thing cleaned up, operating correctly, and that way you're good to go. Now, here's the newer kind of water heater that's out. And this one is actually the most energy efficient out of all of those. And these are the heat pump water heaters. So they're an electric water heater. So if you think of the heat pump that's outside your home or your air conditioner outside, you think about that. It transfers kind of heat. So it has a compressor out there and it's taking, when you turn on the air conditioner in your house, it's taking that heat out of it, pushing it outside. The cold Freon comes in, it does the swap. And now you've got that air going over the coils, and that's giving you, this is what this is doing, but in reverse. So it is taking the heat that is around the outside. It's taking that and putting it into the water heater. So what happens is you've got this super efficient water heater. And what I say is if you have a dollar of energy used for a gas water heater, if you use that same dollar of energy used in the electric heat pump, you get $3 worth of energy out of that.
Wow. So basically three times the energy out of the heat pump.
Yeah, so it is by far the most efficient way to do that. And that's what's cool about that is, and that's I'm actually going to get rid of my gas and go to that because we're going to put a little bit bigger one in just because we have some house plans down the road of adding another bathroom in. But long story short, that's what we're going to end up putting in because it's going to give me something that's going to be super efficient. And I do like the gas, but for efficiency and saving money, that's a good way to go because I'm going to get so much more, you know, and it's one less gas thing in my house burning, you know. And to be honest, if I'm going to do an outside gas fireplace and some other stuff around here, I kind of want my gas for that.
And not to be diverted over to your water.
I don't have to put a bigger meter in. I can rob it off of that. So anyway, long story short, though, that's one of those things, the water heaters that you can really, really pay attention to. Now, when you're fixing water heaters with electric ones, those are pretty easy tune-ups. If you've had, you know, 10 years since you've done anything on your water heater and it's an electric one, you can go down to the store, get two elements and, you know, and just do a tune-up on that thing and get it working so much better. You know, go through there, get it cleaned up, get it working well. And a simple tune-up can really make a water heater work much more efficiently. And when was the last time that you did your maintenance on the water heater? When's the last time you drained it? You know, that's the thing. So when you do that, the first thing I want to see you do is to turn off the power gas to the water heater. Because what happens is you'll dry fire that element on the electric one, for instance, and you'll burn it up. Because those things look like little tiny oven elements. So you want to turn the power off to that and make sure that it's off. So that way you're not burning that up. And then they've got that little spigot down there on the bottom. And you want to run a hose outside or into a drain someplace that you know it'll go away from it. You know, I'm in my garage, so it's easy. Just go out, you know, into the yard. But here's the thing. I want you to think about this. If you do that, like I just said, go out in the yard, that'll probably kill the grass if you've got hot water. Because you're going to don't go put it on the plants unless you know what you're doing because that hot water is not going to be good for them. That's going to be one of those things that you'll leave a little bit of a mark with that.
Well, I don't think it would be necessarily a huge deal, but I mean, if you have that sediment that's in there or whatnot, and then you're draining it out, you don't necessarily know what's in there. And
if you're putting it on your... it's minerals. It'll be okay. Yeah. It's all natural stuff. That's what I figure,
but so is asbestos.
Well, yeah. I'm not going to breathe it. But, yeah. But you're right,
I'm just
though.
Saying I mean, it's natural.
No, it's natural. Doesn't mean it's good, yeah. But, yeah, it's all just sediments. A lot of it's just calcium and those kind of minerals that are falling out in there. So it's not going to be horrible, but... let that drain out.
It's more or less the heat that's the issue.
The heat's what's going to get it. So just be careful. Don't go kill your new lawn. And then you're going to be okay. Drain that out. And then you're going to have to fight if you've got hard water in there and you've got that sediment. I mean, there's times that I've had to sit there with an air hose.
Blow it out.
Just to get that kicked out. Because what happens is if you've got a foot of sediment in the bottom of that and you've turned the water off, kind of a problem. I've actually sat there, had the water on first. Haven't even turned the water off yet. I've opened up the drain on it. Nothing comes out.
It's blocked.
It's 100% blocked. So it's like having a foot of sand in the bottom of that thing. It's just jammed in there. So I've had to go back through, turn the water off, and then I've gone through and blown air from an air compressor back up in there, taking the pressure out of it. There's so many of those things like that you've had to do that just to get that drained out. And that's... then at this point, you're going to have to be careful because you can fight those elements. And if those elements have really kind of corroded themselves in there into the side of the tank, at some point, you might just look at it and go,
Time to replace it.
Yep. New water heater. So be careful with that. And then make sure when you're going through and doing these water heater checks like that, you're getting it taken care of. Make sure you've got a couple straps on that strapped off. Make sure you've got those earthquake straps. Mine are code. They're not pretty.
I was looking at yours going, well. Yeah.
But they've got them. So
they're there.
Yep, absolutely. So they are there. It's one of those things. So it's one of those things that you just got to really be careful really with because, you know, you want to make sure, though, there's there. Because if you have an earthquake, what happens is that you're going to end up having a problem. You don't want to get those things knocked over because if they knock over, you got to that's a big deal. And then if you've got a gas one, a lot of times in a lot of areas, you've got to have that post in front of it. If it's in a garage, you don't run into it. Warm around the house as soon as we return.
Finished with my man because he couldn't help me with my mind. People think I'm insane because I am frowning all the time.
to Around the House with Eric G. This is where we talk home improvement every single weekend. Thanks for joining us. I'm Eric G.
I'm co-host Dane Vauder.
Man, see, you stepped up right there. I love it. I love it. Well, you know, we've been talking about all these different kind of projects around your house, and we're starting to get into that time that, you know, we can really start doing some of these outdoor projects, and it's something that we're going to be talking more about this year than we probably ever have, because I know so many people just want to get outside and do stuff, and I mean, and it's been one of those summers already that people are just like, man, I am kept up in the house, and I want to start tackling projects
outside. I want to be outside.
Oh, man. I tell you what, it's funny because, and we're not going to dive into this too deep here, but I mean, I'm outside working and I'll see somebody walking by that I know on the sidewalk. It's like I've just found my long lost friend.
Oh, buddy. Hey,
buddy. Friend. Hey, man. How you doing?
Social interaction.
Whoa, somebody's alive. You know, it's like we're out of a zombie movie and you see somebody that's actually not a zombie. It just kind of brings, it gives you a little bit of a different feel.
Well, you know? And I'm kind of, so I like the area that I'm at and I don't. So what I like about where I live is, so there's two duplexes on the property. So there's four different families that all, we all live there.
Yeah.
We also have a communal area in the far back.
Cool.
And we're all starting, like, it's recently been used for like little gatherings and whatnot. And I'm thinking to myself moving forward, I'm like, man, throw some sort of lighting fixtures or even like tiki torches or something back there.
Let's have some,
let's throw a poker table. There's already an outdoor fire pit.
Oh, like, let's do a little design project out there. That
could be fun.
Good. Yeah, that sounds really good. I like that one. That's a good one. And, you know, those are the kind of things that I think that, you know, and I've talked about this before, you know, we're just spooling up where people are going to start get going. And I want to give this advice to our listeners out there. If you are planning on hiring a contractor for a remodeling project, you better get on that list right now.
If you want it done this year.
Yeah. If you want that project to be a 2020 project and you've got money burning in your pocket, I'd be on the phone right now giving them a call, because right now, you think about it, we've had a couple months stop in many areas of projects, if not a couple months slowdown in the areas that haven't. But you've got, I know some contractors that have been shut down for 8 weeks. They're hard stop, not doing anything. I know some that have been cruising right along and it's slowed them a little bit, but it's still going. But all those people that had a hard stop, they've got to get back on their projects. They've got to get stuff back in.
And they're going to be chomping at the bit to do so.
They are, but that pushed out all these projects 2 months, you know? And so now what used to be maybe a 90 day or 120 day wait, now you're 6 to 8 months to a year. So, I mean, I know builders out there that were already booked up into November.
Now they're booked through till April.
Yeah, now they're booked all the way through. So if you're going to be doing that, you know, do that one. Make sure that's, you know, you've got that. Make sure that you've got the right contractor. Do your due diligence with that. But really, if you're going to get on that, start the planning phase now. And if not, still get a hold of that contractor, but say, hey, you know, it's I'm not ready till January of next year. Great. You might want to get on their schedule right now.
Yeah, still get that ball rolling.
Yeah. And then it'll get you through the design process and get you through all that stuff. And one other tip, too, I just wanted to give out here, too, is when you're working on these bigger projects, if you're doing a kitchen remodel, doing a bathroom remodel, hire that designer. And I'm not just saying that because I am one, but I'm just saying that because they're going to save you money in the long run. You bringing somebody in that's going to help navigate the process and really help you get through from point A to point B. You're not going to be painting walls three times because the color's wrong. You're not going to have the wrong materials mixed in. They're going to help you navigate for an easier project, and that's what's going to save you some money in the long run. And that it's one of those things that saving money in the wrong places can cost you so much more. You know, you're stepping over dollars to save dimes.
Whereas spending money in the right place can save you a lot of money down the road.
Absolutely. And you always want to make sure that that contractor has a good relationship with your designer. So don't just go out and hire a designer by themselves and a remodeler by themselves. Make sure those two get along well, because they're going to be your advocate when this whole thing's done. And you want them to be on the same team and supporting each other, because the last thing you want to do is be in the middle of a drama fest and look like you're in the middle of HDTV.
And you're paying both of them.
Oh, yeah. And you're paying for that battle. Well, thanks for listening around the house. Tune into the week. We got some great stuff ahead this next week. I'm Eric G.
I'm Dane Vauder.
And you've been listening
to Around the House.
Around the House with Eric G. is produced by Designed by Eric G. in association with Salem Media and distributed nationally by the Sun Broadcast Group. All rights reserved. Copyright 2020 Designed by Eric G. We will be back next week. If you missed part of the show, check out the podcast of all of our shows at AroundTheHouseOnline.com. Remember, measure with a micrometer, mark with caulk, and cut with an axe. Thanks for listening to Around the House.
Hey, it's Eric G. from Around the House. Are you planning a decking or siding project this year? If you are, you've got to check out my friends at Millboard. Millboard is a completely different kind of composite decking and cladding that enhances outdoor spaces with enduring distinction. Hand-molded from the finest oak, it realistically mimics the natural grain and color of premium hardwood. If you're looking for something that doesn't look like plastic and instead real wood, check out Millboard.com. Make sure and check out that interview we did just a few weeks back. That's Millboard.com.